Welcome to The Fountain, where it's our desire to connect with God, to grow in Jesus, and to engage the world in His name. As you listen to this message, we pray that you allow God to speak to your heart, and that His words might motivate you to life change. Come to The Fountain, a place where you belong.
Worship is what plows the ground of our heart. It was a great quote, because we come in with lots of things in our heart. We come in this building to worship God together. You know, our life is a life of worship, supposed to be. But when we come corporately, you bring all kinds of stuff in here. Stuff that, we just got to sing, Fear Not. You know, today we're talking about a peace of God that is not like earthly peace. But we bring stuff in here, and we're so full that there's no room for God to do anything. And we have to come in here with a heart that's ready to be cultivated, that God to rip out. You know, cultivating the ground means ripping out the weeds. It's getting out all the stuff that doesn't need to be there so that the seed can be planted and has room to grow, right? And so that's what I want today. My prayer is today that through our worship, opening our heart to God, that it's wide open right now for you to receive the word that is meant for you today. And it's meant in different ways for different parts of us. You know, some of us need the milk of the word today. Some of us need the meat of the word today. So as the Holy Spirit has His way, He will give you what you need today. Amen?
Amen? Amen.
How many of you are struggling somewhat in your life right now to find peace? Raise your hand. Don't be ashamed of it. We all get there. We have all done it, to have some kind of peace in our life. About circumstances, about the gamut of things to think about. But let me tell you this. In the Bible, we will find at least 357 times, and some people say there's 365 times, one for every day of the year, the words or the variation of the words, fear not or do not be afraid, in the Bible. Spoken by and through various messengers, yet a message ultimately from God through to his most valued creation, people. He speaks this to us through His words so many times. And it must be very important for God to speak it and for us to know and be reminded of this, for it is to be repeated that many times. It must be because there's a great propensity for us to need to be reminded to trust God, to not fear, and to walk in peace. Amen? I mean, how many times have we heard it, yet we still walk in the world with lack of peace, with lack of trust? We can be assured that God knows what we need to have peace so that we can journey and do what He's called us to do in this earth. You believe that He's got everything that you need for every moment that matters in your life? Do you believe that? Amen. I would guess that all of us from time to time, or make it a regular practice to try and find some peace, whether it be in the midst of chaos in a chaotic upside down world, listening. Here's how we get it sometimes. Listening to the ocean waves. Anybody like that? Hearing the birds sing and talk to each other in the morning. Am I the only one that likes that? Anybody else like that? It's just me. Oh, whoa, got more hands out there. Good. Listening to soothing, meditative music. Anybody like to do that to find peace? Maybe there's a special place like the beach or the park or the mountains that you like to go to because you resonate and associate a peaceful heart, a peaceful mind in places. You ever listen to someone's voice and have a peaceful feeling come over you? When I hear Delilah's voice on the radio, this is Delilah. Or when I listen to Sade sing. Yeah. Not Sharda. Sade. Okay. But I like your voice too, Sharda. Or Alison Krauss sing. I mean, it's just those voices, just I could just listen to it and it brings a calm or a peace. I just love that. It has a soothing effect on me. But, and I also meant to say my wife's voice has that for me too. Yeah, right. I do. I love you, babe. Wherever you are, there you are. These things can bring a sense of calmness, yes, a peace when everything is okay with the world. But what about when everything in your world is falling apart? Many look for a false peace to cut the pain and ease the confusion, or they call it that. Many turn to part-time peace that is also dangerous, like substance abuse. and other unhealthy things that they think will bring a peace, but it's never a lasting peace. It's always temporary. And many times it leads down a road that you can't turn back from by yourself. So how do you gain peace when all is not right with the world? When a parent gets the news that her daughter has an aggressive cancer, or a wife or a mother or a father has cancer. What about losing your ability to provide for your family, like losing your job, or you fill in the blank? It's your story. It's your trial. Put it in there. We all feel it. What seemingly tragic circumstance have you lived through and are maybe living through right now? Circumstances that take our emotions and put them on a roller coaster. And what does it do to our minds? We may think the worst or the possibilities of what lies ahead. Losing sleep because we can't shut our minds off. Anybody been there? And talk about a recipe for anxiousness or being fearful. These things can have their way in our lives if we believe the lies that they bring with them. So where do we go to find peace that will sustain, that will reign in our hearts, that will reign in our minds during those times? Because we will have them. Jesus said, you will have trouble. Come on, church, come on. You will have trouble. That's what's in this world, because this world is not heaven. This world is not our home. And none of us are exempt from those times. So these words today that the Holy Spirit wants to tell you through this message are valuable, because everybody goes through it. So here's what I want you to do. If you've got your iPhones, if you've got your Bible, whatever you have right now, or if you want to look on the screen, we're going to read this passage of Scripture where we're going to land today out of Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. It says this: do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I believe we can see there in this passage of Scripture, there is a relationship between anxiety, between prayer, and between peace in these words from Paul. And like any word from God, there should be the question for us: how does it apply to me? And what is this speaking to me? So like any time we read God's word, it demands a response on our behalf. God's saying, okay, now what do you think? Or what are you going to do? And we should be asking what it's saying about this relationship and what it means for me. Pray with me. Holy Spirit, God, open our hearts. Let them be wide open right now, God, so that you can come in and have your way and have your will, that you can throw out anything that doesn't belong there, whether it be fear or an obstacle. Father, whatever it is, you have reign right now. We want to open and let you have your way. Search our hearts, Lord. Help us throw off anything that's keeping us from hearing what you have for us today and keeping us from being obedient today, Father. Plant your seed in our hearts, Lord, and then water it and let it grow. Holy Spirit, remind us of whose we are and who we are today, Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. Okay, so what is Paul saying here? What is he saying to you? What is he saying to me? What is the relationship between anxiety, prayer, and peace? So let's not just read it, let's unpack it to better understand it. Verse 6 says, don't be anxious about anything. The word anything is an absolute word, meaning all inclusive. Think about your life, everything in it. I believe this passage of Scripture is alluding to that. Not anxious about anything in life that would cause this emotion to surface, this anxiety. There may be different for each of us. What makes you anxious may not make me anxious. And vice versa, we all have these places in our life where we're weak in some areas. So whatever makes you anxious in life may not be anxiousness to me. It may be where I'm stronger. They may be different. It applies to all of us, though, and personally, because there are always circumstances in our lives that we are tempted to be anxious about, that we are tempted to say, it's not going to happen. To not trust God, to be fearful. What makes you anxious? Is it conflict? Are you anxious about conflict with people? Are you anxious when you get out into the traffic, when you're driving? Are you anxious about talking to people? Does that, stir you up and like you get afraid to talk to people? Do you get anxious about sharing the gospel? There's a lot of people that have a fear of they might say the wrong thing. But if God's giving you the vision, he's giving you the provision, right? We just got to trust him and walk through it. Now, the rest of verse 6 says this, but, so don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, there's that all-inclusive word again, in everything, by prayer and petition, and then it adds with. So it's like your dinner, you got your meat, but it comes with two entrees. I mean, it comes with two sides. You got this, but it comes with. So we've got prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Meaning thanksgiving should always accompany our prayer. Our prayer general or our petitions, which are really specific to God. What we're coming to God, what's specifically on our heart that we're praying on others' behalf or our behalf. When we come before our Father in heaven, it says, let your requests be made known to God. He's waiting. He's inviting. Let your requests be known to him. And again, the last part of verse 6, Paul is referring, this is all about prayer. Our prayer to him, it's referring to that, our conversation to God. When we come before God to speak to him about what's on our heart. Be honest. What's the relationship between anxiety and the prayer? There is a connecting word, and it is the word but. Paul says, be done with this, anxiety. But be much in this, prayer. Be done with anxiety about anything, about everything. But in all things, in everything, be much about prayer. The conversation with God. He wants the relationship in everything. Don't go at it alone. Because in our own strength, we will fail. But be much about prayer, that conversation with God, that back and forth. Let him speak and let us speak. Pray instead of being anxious. But I believe it's a bit more than that, church. When we bring our requests, our petitions before God, they are sometimes about our anxieties. They are about our cares and concerns and our frustrations. That's what the prayer is about a lot of the times. So the activity of prayer is the means by which the activity of anxiousness is overcome or done away with. Just like we think that going to the ocean or going to the mountains or listening to Sade is going to make everything okay, that's temporary peace. But the prayer, coming to God, believing, expecting, is what takes away the anxiety. And that always, that every time relationship with God will keep it away from us. We can see God's word telling the same thing in other places like Psalm 55. It says, cast your cares on the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. Never let the righteous be shaken. 1 Peter 5 says, cast your anxiety. There's that word again. Cast your anxiety on him because why? He cares for you. He cares for you. You go to where your need is going to be met, right? You know that mom and dad, when you were a child, is going to protect you. So when something made you fearful, when something was wrong, you ran to mommy. You ran to daddy because you know that they were going to make it okay. God says, cast your anxiety on me because I care for you. And I'm going to do what's best for you. Church, there are many reasons we should be full of gratitude and thanksgiving when we come to God. But one is because he cares for us. If nothing else, if he did nothing else for us, if he gave us not another thing or another blessing, we know that a God cares for us and we should give him thanksgiving because of it. The coming to God is important, but also the manner in which we come before him is important as well. In humility comes to mind. Don't come to God thinking you have it all right, thinking you have it all together, that you know the right answer, because God wants to be a part of your life. We gave him charge over our life, and he wants to have input into our lives. So we come with a contrite heart, a humble heart before a God. Yes, expecting. Yes, in faith. Yes, in confidence. Yes, with a heart that is fully aware of his goodness and should be given the gratitude that he deserves. We should be fully aware how good God is. If we'll just look around, get our eyes off the complaining, get our eyes off the things that aren't so good, but look at the things that we have and be thankful to a God who still cares and is still on his throne. Hebrews 11 says this, and without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists, yes, and that he rewards, he's still in the business of rewarding, those who earnestly seek him. Philippians 4 says this a few verses later from our text, says, and my God will meet all your needs. There's that all, that inclusive word, that absolute word, all your needs, according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. Do you believe this? We have to walk it, because some of our lives don't reflect what we believe then, right? We have to walk it. There is much to be thankful for when it comes to God, and we should be aware that every time we come before him, and I might add, articulate it to him. Not just come with a thankful heart, because we say out of the heart is the overflow, right, of what we're feeling, right, to God. So if you feel thankful to God, say, God, thank you. Whether it be in your mind, whether it be audible or inaudible, speak it to God. Say it out loud, if you will. Thank you, God. Now let's move on to verse 7, where Paul tells us what happens when we cast down or cast out our anxieties and we pray. Verse 7 says, and so we have cast down our anxieties, and now we're going to pray about them. We're going to bring it all with thanksgiving to God, and the peace of God, not the ocean waves, not the mountains, not Sade's voice, not the birds singing, not all that, and the peace of God. You see, God is above all those things. God is greater than all of those things. God created all of those things. So it's not soothing peace. It's not the soothing voice peace. It's not the oceans. It's not the birds. It's the peace of God. And this peace is not just the flip side of anxiety. Doesn't mean that because we don't have anxiety that we have the peace of God. That's not true either. You may have anxiety, but you may not have peace. This is a special peace, the peace of God. And then it goes on, the verse says, which transcends. We know what that means? What transcends? It goes beyond the limits. It surpasses our finite minds. We can't get our minds around it. We don't understand it. It goes beyond, exceeds our earthly expectations. It transcends. Then after that, it says all understanding. There's that inclusive word, that absolute, all understanding. God is talking to us, not him. He doesn't need it because he's the all-knowing God. He understands everything. It's us that don't understand it. And he says it transcends all understanding. Means it's impossible. Get this now. It's impossible for us to wrap our minds around sometimes. And you know what? That's okay. Because we shouldn't know everything. You're not God. I'm not God. God is God. He's the one who's all-knowing. And he should know. But he opens our minds to believe and understand when it's the right time. I believe there are things about God in this life that we spend too much time trying to figure out and trying to understand when we just need to accept them in faith. That it's okay not to know and be obedient. God has his reasons, and as deserving as we think we are sometimes, and sometimes we come before him, God, I need to know right now. You need to tell me right now, God, or I'm not going to go any further. You can't bargain with God like that. God says, you need to trust me. I know the way. It's my will. And he's already said it's good and pleasing. And you will know that when you get through it. You just need to trust me while you go through it. Will you trust him? That's the question out of this you need to ask yourself. Will you trust him? And here's what happens when all these other things transpire, getting rid of anxiety, praying with thanksgiving, and getting this special peace that only comes from God. It results in this. It will, the last part of verse 7, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That's what it does. It guards our hearts and minds. Well, what does it guard our hearts from, you might ask? The peace that comes from God is going to guard our hearts from those anxieties, from going back to them, from reliving them, from laying them down, then picking them back up. Anxiety is an emotion, and we all know how out of control our emotions can be, don't we? We've all been there. The heart feels the anxiety, so the peace of God can help us keep that anxiety away because of knowing that we have God's peace. We can trust and be okay with God's good, pleasing, and perfect will for our life. But this peace guards our minds as well. If the heart feels the anxiety, what does the mind do with it? You know as well as I know, our minds can dream up all kinds of scenarios and circumstances and outcomes of certain events or the possibilities of anything happening at all. Our minds can go into overdrive, and we get obsessed with the what ifs. You ever been there? Well, what if this happens? Well, what if we go and it doesn't work out like it's supposed to or like we think so? Well, what if? We have all been there and said, what if, God? What if? And he says, don't matter. I'm in charge of the what ifs. I've got this, this saying frame on my desk. And you've probably heard about what people say, don't worry about the things you can't do anything about or the things you can't change, right? Well, that's easier said than done on our own, right? But I've got this phrase that's on my desk, and me and Brother Lee, we have a little fun with it because he says, I got my it is what it is list that, you know, I got this list that doesn't end. But this thing is about it is what it is. If it's when it's out of my control, it is what it is. If I can't do anything about it, it is what it is. But you see, I turn it around too and I say, God is in control of the outcome, so it is what it is. God's will is good, pleasing, and perfect, so it is what it is. The situation is what it is. And if God has ordained or asked me to walk through the situation, it is what it is. Let me get my big boy pants on and let me walk through it with trust and peace, knowing that God is in control of the outcome. Church, our God is a God of peace. It's one of his character traits. 2 Corinthians 13 says, finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice, strive for full restoration, encourage one another, be of one mind, live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Church, we say that God is love all the time. You hear that more than you hear anything else. But God is many things, and he is a God of peace, and he wants to share that peace with you because he knows how much you need it. Every day, we have an opportunity to fear not or don't be afraid, but to walk in peace. Peace is not the absence, though, or void of problems, church. It's not the absence of troubles. It's not the absence of storms of life. But we can have peace in spite of those circumstances that sometimes we're ordained and have to walk through. But it has to come from God. It can't be manufactured. It can't be manifested in something that we can create or that we grab a hold of here on earth, because that's temporary. That kind of peace only comes from a God who gives it. In my study for this message, I found these passages of Scripture, Jude 1:2, 1 Peter 1:2, and 2 Peter 1:2, all say the same thing and have the same message. I thought that was pretty cool. I don't know if you did or not. Grace and peace, it says, grace and peace be in abundance to you. The second, that third one there, 2 Peter 1:2 says, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. If you believe his word, that's the knowledge, okay? That's the knowledge. Believe that through God you can have these things. And he says he wants us to have them in abundance. Why abundance? Because we need it. Wake up every day, turn the TV on, go to your jobs, drive on the roads. You need it. Isaiah 23 reiterates, I believe, what Philippians 4 is saying. It says, you will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. That's just a great passage of scripture from the Old Testament. You know what it says to me? It says, I don't need to spend too much time thinking about why or why not, or obsessing or satiating on the reasons for tragedies or why things came out the way they came out. I know there is evil in this world. It's a fact. You look around. I know that people are weak and given to temptation from time to time. That's why we're conduits of grace, right? For other people. But I also know that God is on his throne. And if I am his, he has given me the grace to walk and do whatever I come across in my journey. And we have to believe that. Church, we need to invite God into our thoughts and our emotions. How many times have we tried to deny that we are anxious? The devil has a way of telling us lies that we will believe. It happened to Adam and Eve. It's happened to many others of God's children. We are not exempt. Invite God to help you see and get rid of your burdens, get rid of your anxieties. But it only comes through going to him and having a conversation through prayer. But the manner in which you come is important. Psalm 139 says, search me, God, and know my heart. And then it gives him permission, test me and know my anxious thoughts. Part of the fruit of the Spirit that we're supposed to be growing in our life is peace. It's a peace that should be witnessed, not just inside, not that we know that we have it, but witnessed by people. It's the kind of fruit that we're supposed to be growing off of our Christian life, that other people will see, wow, there's a storm of life. How are you going through that? How are you not beside yourself? How are you not just crawling into your bed and covering your head up and coming out, not coming out for 6 months? Because my God is in control. It may not come out the way that I really desire, but my will is submitted to the Lord's will. And if I can do that, if I can trust that, it doesn't matter what comes my way or what I go through. If the Lord thinks I'm strong enough to go through it, then I'm going to go through it. And I'll do it with his help. We become a witness to a world that needs. See, we know peace. We have it. But we can't keep it to ourselves. We got to want it for other people too. In other words, we should be searching for peace, striving for peace, working for peace, and in the spirit of an oxymoron, fighting for peace. Though the fighting is on our knees. The fighting is in our prayers and recognizing the blessings of life and approaching the God of peace in gratitude, and peace shall be granted. About a month ago, I was I try to stay pretty active, and I run and work out and do those things more so for cardio. I don't overextend myself too much, but I love those things. If some people work out and they say, "Oh, I hate this," I work out and the endorphins go, and it's like, "Oh man, that felt good." But it's only when I'm done, not during. Sometimes, but as I get older and I do these things, I didn't know it at the time. My left hip got out of whack. And my, you know, the spine down in there got turned or disconnected. And this was about a month ago, a little more than a month ago, and I'm running in a 5K race, and I'm doing these things, and it keeps getting bad or worse. So, and it's back here in the back, and I'm thinking, oh, no. You ever think, oh, no, my kidneys are going bad or something like that? And so I'm going to the doctor. I go to my primary care doctor and tell them, and they did all the tests. No, your kidneys are fine. And I said, it comes from here and goes to here. And they said, it's probably a muscle strain. So lay down $70 and tell me it's a muscle strain. So I said, okay, well, then I got to give it some rest and do light stuff. And so I do that, but it's not going away. Matter of fact, it's getting worse. And so one of the things I never thought I would do, but because my good friend Maddie Saltz had mentioned it to me 3 weeks ago, I just got to thinking, okay, maybe I should see a chiropractor. Maybe it's something else. And so I call, and they say, yeah, you might need to come in. We, you know, make an adjustment. So, and I've never been to one. I don't know. The only thing I've ever heard was if you go, then you can't never stop going. That's all I've ever heard. And it's like, I don't want to keep going. But, so I made an appointment and I went to see the chiropractor, and really surprised me all the things that he did to me and all that. And I didn't feel great coming out of there. But the next day I woke up and I was like a new man. It was like, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, chiropractor. Thank you, Maddie Saltz, for suggesting it, you know. So, but here's my point in that. And I believe, you know, I'm a believer that God gives you what you need when you need it. And this never occurred to me about going until right before this message. And I believe God allowed me at that moment to tell you that sometimes we go to the wrong place to get healed sometimes. When we got to go to the right place to get what we need for healing, Jehovah Rapha, right? We got to go to the right place. Now, here's the problem with it, because he told me this. He said, now, listen, it's been out for a while, so it's learned some new memory there. So there's a good chance it's going to slip out again. I said, I don't want you to not be active or do anything. I want you to do exactly what you've been doing. But what's going to take, and this is what I didn't want to hear, it's going to take 2 or 3 or 4 more times of this. But if that's what it takes, that's what it takes to get it back in, for it to remember where it's supposed to be. We get spiritual amnesia sometimes. We experience the peace of God. And we're thankful to God. God, thank you for bringing me through. God, I praise you. And then the next tragedy comes on and we forget. We forget that the God of peace, which gave it to us over here in this circumstance, can still give it. Because he's in the business of keeping giving. That's why he says, do not fear, that many times, because he's ready to give it abundantly. He wants to have it, us to have it in abundance. So we got to remember to go back and get an adjustment. Sometimes it's an attitude adjustment. Sometimes it's a heart adjustment. But we got to keep going back until we remember through and through that he is faithful and that he will be there. I want to close right now with Philippians 4:8. The band's going to come back up, the vocals, because they're going to lead us in communion. But Philippians 4:8, the verse right after 6 and 7, gives us some encouragement and exhorts us. When we can be free from the anxieties of this world and we can walk in the peace, with and in the peace of God as we are about his mission in our lives and able to do this, here's what happens in verse 8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything, there's that all-inclusive word, if anything is excellent and praiseworthy, think about such things. Focus your mind on those things, because in focusing your mind on those things, then you don't care about the anxieties. You can go through whatever, and God has got you. And you know that. King David prayed to the Lord. Though he walked through the valley of the shadow of death, he would fear no evil because God was there to guide him and comfort him. Not just guide him down the road, but give him comfort. He believed that, and God gave him the peace that he needed to know that God was there. Because he's on the mountaintop and he's in the valley. Jesus prayed in the garden. Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but your will be done. You see, when we pray, it's not to ask God to do things for us. It's getting our heart aligned with God's will is what it's about. And Jesus said, I believe this. He had perfect peace from his Father to be able to go through all that was ahead of him and not be overcome by it. Before that prayer to his Father, though, the Son of man was feeling anxiety, I believe. The Son of Man, that was the man side of him. And he was feeling the weight and the burden of the moment. But then he prayed. And after his prayer, he was on board and all in for the will of the Father. Jesus had the grace of his Father to do what he knew he must do. And he went and he did it. And he had so much peace that he wasn't thinking about him. He was thinking about God's people. He was saying, Father, don't come down. He didn't say, come down and wipe them all out, Father. He said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. And you can't say that unless you have perfect peace in the situation and the circumstances that you're going through. And that peace doesn't come from listening to somebody's voice other than God's. There's a quote I came across. Because of the empty tomb, we have peace. Because of his resurrection, we can have peace during the most troubling of times because we know he is in control of all that happens in the world. At the beginning of 1 Timothy, Paul says to his protege, to my true son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul wanted this for Timothy. Paul prayed to God for this for Timothy. Church, we ought to follow Paul's example and pray for each other in this way as we move into communion this morning. We know what Jesus did for us. We know that he went to the cross. He could have abandoned it, but he didn't. They didn't take his life. He laid it down because of the peace he had in his heart. He knew what he must do. Every day you come, God, you are faced with the choice. I'm going to worry about this. I'm going to have anxiety about this. Or I'm going to seek God. And God has a peace that I can walk in this. And be able to do and say and be who he's called me, what he's called me to do and be and say. But it only comes from God. It only comes from God. Jesus can give you that. A good friend of mine, little Aiden's home from college, and I was glad, I didn't expect her. She came home to go to a musical with, you know, her mom and my wife and son and Miss Mary. I see you right there. Where are you? There you are right there. And they went to see, and I didn't expect to see her. I always love seeing Aiden when she comes home, but she's always here and then she's gone. So she goes back to college. But I said, she said to me, I just need a little Jesus today. And so she stayed for church. I said, there's no Jesus in Columbus. She said, well, you can't find Jesus very much. I said, you know, you take Jesus with you. When you're seeking what God has for you, it's in you. And it should go with you wherever you are. Because that's what's going to sustain you in this world. When we come to the communion tables today, the band's going to say, Jesus paid it all. And you know what? He did. He paid it all. That's inclusive, that word. It's all inclusive. He paid for all of it. You don't have to worry about it. He paid for all. So that's when you come to the table today, remember that. Jesus, thank you for paying it all. Father God, we love you. We thank you for today, Lord, bringing us together. God, thank you for plowing the soil of our hearts this morning. God, I pray you laid us wide open. God, I pray that there was so much room for all of the word in us today, that every seed that needed to be planted was planted today, God. And Holy Spirit, water and let it grow. And may you see the fruit. May you see the growth of that seed in our lives today, Father, as we walk in all that you've called us to. God, this world may be full of evil and trouble, but we will have peace in the storm because it comes from you, God. Let us walk in that. Let us believe it today, Father. And as we take this communion, Jesus, thank you for showing us the way. The cross may be heavy as we carry it daily, but you've given us the strength to carry it all the way, just like you did. Thank you for this opportunity to commune with you. So bless it now for your glory and our remembrance. In the name of Jesus, we said together, amen.